Okay, is it Jeff Middleton? Whenever you're ready, sir, I just need your name for the record.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Middleton of Fritz Creek, Alaska. I've been a resident of the state for over 70 years, graduated in Homer High in 66, and I am totally against the governor's budget. Soon after he made this budget, he gave the go-ahead on the Connect Bridge boondoggle, which awaits another, you know, several billion dollars, whatever. And I am for the full funding of education, including, you know, if they cut off sports and other activities. And also, he's got this war on crime. Well, this, if kids have nothing to do, they're going to be out in the streets getting in trouble, so more problems there. And also, the jobs are going to be lost by this budget cut. 10, 50, I heard several figures, but thousands of jobs. And what are these people going to do? You know, be on the street. There's going to be no backups, no social programs, no safety nets. And so, and that in itself is a crime. And I believe that you could work on efficiency, and also you need to work on waste. And in the past, there's been a lot of waste going on, and I'm sure you're aware of that. So that's a big part of it. I am for income tax. I was here before the with no dividend and paid income tax, and I did fine. My dad raised 7 kids working in the bush away from home without a dividend, and and I am for cutting the dividend, 16, something anyway, you know, down to 16 or 2,000 or something. And like Paul said, that's probably the most immediate source of money. And I do believe that the oil taxes need to be restructured. They're taking much more money than we need to give them. And people have mentioned this, but one income tax too, we're gaining money that people that live out of state and they spent somewhere else. So yeah, that's about all I have. I do appreciate this meeting today. There's been about every side of it and every opinion, and everybody's been really respectful, and so and that's good part of it right there. So appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, did you get a name on that?
I think it looks like Spencer.
Spencer Wiley?
Yes.
Okay, you're up, and then is it Diane next?
Yes, Diane Matter?
Diane is it Diane Maddy? Is that what it is? Okay, whenever you're ready, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Spencer Wyman. I live down in Kosilov. I've been here 29 years. The dividend, talking about the dividend for a minute. I think it's totally immoral for the state to be taxing the children of this state. The dividend should go to the people, period. As far as the school district cutting the schools, I'd like to paint a little picture. Last November, Matt Nuskaburro had an earthquake, and the superintendent was in the news, explaining that she had a little more than 16,000 students and she had 4,000 employees. So for every employee, there's four students. So if you have a class of, say, 28 students, there's seven state employees or borough employees. There's only one teacher in front of that class. That means is out of those six, if you want to cut the schools, let's take three of those jobs away from the six that are sitting at a desk somewhere. I'm willing to pay an income tax, but give the kids back the dividends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there a Diane who'd signed up to testify? Can't make out the last name. I don't see anybody running for the microphone. Okay, so we are over by 15 minutes right now. I do have a short list of people, and some have come from as far as Cooper Landing yet to speak, and I'm going to give them that opportunity. But I'm going to even cut you down to maybe just a brief minute, as I've got about five more minutes to get these guys out of here so I can get to the airport on time to catch their flight. So in that regard, we're going to move forward. Ms. Swarner, Linda Swarner, Paul Shadura, and then John Pothurst. And then I think I see a Graham, last name Graham, but I can't make out the first name. Ms. Swarner, when you're ready, please.
Thank you. Linda Swarner, 298 Rogers Road, Kenai. And I want to thank Speaker Edgman and Vice Chair Johnston and Representative Knopp for definitely coming down and speaking with us. And as a resident of Alaska since 1957 and as a product of Fairbanks Schools, the university system, I strongly urge you to fund forward fund education so the school districts throughout this great state can know what they're doing with their teachers. And also, just to leave you with kind of something to think about, it's called Bee Life. Bees live naturally in the wild or are artificially kept by beekeepers. Simply put, we put a box over them and let them do their thing. Either way, they devote their lives to the hive. That's the miracle of bees, complete subjugation of the individual for the group. Lesson, it's satisfying to work for the greater good. So please continue to work for the greater good of all Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Warner. Mr. Shadura.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Shadura, and I thank you for coming down here, and we'll cut to the chase. I heard something a little earlier. I have a little modification. You give a person a fish, they eat one day. You teach them how to fish, they can feed themselves. You restrict access to the fish, they starve. So the commercial fishing communities like the petroleum and the mining industries have been the foundation of Alaskan economy for decades. Without the state's governance, these industries cannot continue to fully develop or properly conserve our state's and our state's natural resources. I'm trying to read faster. I have some suggestions, and as they are, do not approve the governor's FY20 budget. Work as you are from the FY19 budget. And consider all the continued reductions as suggested. Do not approve a raid on the coastal community's share of the fish landing and business tax. The Kenai Peninsula Borough deposits $1 million into its general fund on an annual basis in addition to the community's, that was quick. That was really quick. Anyway, can I just say two things here? I do support a mix of all four versions of the OMB's justification. A reasonable reduction in the budget, a reduction in the permanent fund dividend, and a sales tax that will help Anchorage pay for its needed services, and the combined 500,000 residents who live in the Matsu Anchorage, and Kenai Peninsula boroughs. And I'll do a written one.
Thank you, Mr. Shadur. Thank you.
My name is John Podesta. I live in Soldatna, and thank you for being here tonight, and thank you for extending a little for us stragglers. I really appreciate that. I am not in favor of the governor's proposed budget. I think the cuts are short-sighted, they're irresponsible, and they're dangerous for the future of our state. For the main reason, Vidalia, I thought, was a great example. That is our greatest resource, our students. And when we look at, on the Kenai, we have 9,000 students in our district approximately. Statewide, we have approximately 130,000 students. And in the state, we have approximately 700,000 people who live here. That means 20% of our state are kids, are children. They don't have a legal voice, and it is incumbent on us adults to represent their legal voice. And I think by cutting education, we are cutting our prosperity and what may happen to us in the future. Please take my PFD. Please give me an income tax. Please do something, but look for another source of revenue, because we can't simply cut. We have to have something other than oil. We need another revenue. Thank you for your time. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. Pothurst. I think what I got is Kyle Graham. Mr. Graham? Okay, we're going down the list here. Mr. Jackson, Harold, Bobby, you might as well come with him. You'll be right behind him. And then Mr. Story, David? Whenever you're ready.
Thank you for listening to us tonight. Appreciate that very much. My name is Harold Jackson. I live in Kisilov. I'd just like to say that in the first 10 years after the pipeline was opened, the state of Alaska changed taxes on the oil companies 13 times. We've changed taxes on the oil companies on the average every 2 years since then. Our governor was just down in the States trying to drum up a little interest in corporations coming to Alaska, telling them that Alaska was open for business. They are laughing him to scorn behind his back, because they know if they come to Alaska, we're going to tax them to the maximum. And I'm sorry, but that is what has happened in the past. I believe that Alaska is a great place. But if we institute an income tax, all state programs start out real tiny. We started out with a 1% sales tax in, my father was on the borough assembly, 1%, and it was only going to be for 2 years to support our school system. Look at the sales tax we have today. All the little bureaus and government programs start out with a little desk in a corner, and it's only going to cost a couple of dollars a year. And they balloon into these huge, huge, huge expenditures, thousands of millions of dollars. And if you institute a state income tax, it's going to start out, oh, it's just going to be $4 or $5 out of your paycheck. But your grandchildren will dig up your bones and spit on them if you institute a state income tax. It's not going to always be 1 or 2%. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Mrs. Jackson.
My name is Bobby Jackson. I have 5 children, 14 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren, and I want to stop spending their future. I hope that they will be able to live here. Thank you for being here to hear our thoughts and bring a problem of overspending to the forefront. This overspending not only affects our government, but every family. I was born in Alaska in 1951. We homesteaded in Soldatna. We lived a simple, provident, self-reliant life. We had a small garden to help with food. What we considered poor today was considered rich then. What I have to say won't be popular and won't help the budget very much, but it's important so that our children and grandchildren can learn to be provident, and self-reliant. Many of us have not taught our children the skills needed. We go on out-of-state vacations and cruises, eating in restaurants while on social benefits. Parents and grandchildren take their children and grandchildren on vacations, cruises, and out to dinner instead of helping them with their basic needs, putting that responsibility on the backs of other people. College students go on vacations all summer instead of working in the summer and saving their permanent fund dividend and expect someone else to pay for their education. There is enough money to help those who cannot help themselves, but not enough to help everyone who could help themselves. Are we expecting people to be more self-reliant? Are we teaching people how to be more self-reliant? Start with small things like a garden, cooking from scratch, buying on sale, so on. Or are we just teaching people that they deserve what they want without effort on their part? A wise person once said, "When I contemplate the eternal consequences of little things, I am convinced there are no little things." If we can't live within our means, we can't expect our government to live within their means. We must all look within our own lives and see how we and our families can help cut the budget by using less services.
Can you wrap up, Ms. Jackson, please?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Story, last testifier.
Thank you for being here tonight. I wrote for three, so I'll try to dig in. What role our government plays in our life is at the core of the hard choices that must be made to balance our budget. I want state governments committed to education, infrastructure, and increased investment in diversifying the engines that power our economy. My wife and I don't have, nor do we plan to have children, but we strongly support education and recognize that it is one of the best returns on investment our dollars can be spent on. We do not utilize the ferry, but we recognize it's important to the success of the state and its citizens. Same is true for countless services I may never take advantage of directly, but I'm not in favor of their elimination just because I don't use them myself. Hard choices and compromises must be made to responsibly balance the budget while preserving the services we depend on. More spending alone does not equal better outcomes, but most can agree on that, but more cutting does not equal better outcomes either, and it's time more of us recognize this. Focused and justified cuts are a necessary component. Oil production tax credits are a far better place to start than education. Cuts are not intellectually honest, though, when they simply shift the burden to other places in the like the borough. We can't find our way out of the budget crisis by cutting alone. Promises that we can do so are bankrupt as the results they will generate. A responsible budget must include mechanisms for generating revenue that provide long-term stability and offset the drastic swings in revenue caused by volatile oil prices. A progressive state tax and income tax is a reasonable mechanism that captures revenue from those that benefit from the services, whether they live in the state or not. It's unreasonable to expect that we should not have to pay into a system that provides us services, or that we should slash those services wholesale before we even consider discussing paying into that system. I personally pay from my PFD to support those services, but utilizing it to balance the budget is a regressive form of taxation that places the burden entirely on Alaskans and unfairly on those whose income is most dependent on the PFD. So I don't support its use in those calculations. I don't support Governor Dunleavy's cuts, and neither should you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Story. So I just got to tell you that I can't tell you how much I appreciate everybody coming out. All the testimony, very important, and all the input. I heard things I never expected to hear. Very valuable. So for those of you who didn't sign up to testify, I know you have things on your mind. So let me encourage you to grab the public opinion sheets over there. They will be part of the official record. Fill them out, give them to my office or Speaker Edmund's office or Reverend Johnson's office, and we'll get them all on the record. Thank you all for coming immensely. I've kept them 30 minutes longer than I anticipated. And so thank you.
I'd also like to let everyone know that the entire House Finance Committee is going to be hearing the operating budget bill, House Bill 39, at the Kenai LIO at 7:30 on Monday night. Another opportunity to testify on the operating budget before the full House Finance Committee.
I think I sat on the plane one day with you. Hello, how are you? You must must be fully retired. Alan keeps wondering when I'll get the memo. So Keith was down in Juneau, and he came to my office, and I didn't recognize him because it's been so long. And it was so good to see him. I just, it was wonderful. It made my week. Yeah. No, I think I think people generally are. Nice to see you. Yeah. Nice to see you. We'll see at the end of the day.
Yeah, you can only do what you can do, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. I do support you.
Thank you.
You're down there. Okay, so
60 years ago, my dad was in the little town I grew up with from my town.
Yeah.
60 years ago. I went back to my 60s.
They
had about 400 people in town and everything. The oil boom. They went to, no, this was in the Lower 48. The reason I know about what happened with oil. I've lived good. My folks have lived good all their lives. Okay? It was almost 7,000, 8,000 people.
Oh, yeah, there.
60 years later.